very happy Thanksgiving and happy holiday season to you, wherever you may be listening. Welcome in to the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast here on 104.5 The Zone. We have got a lot to cover today. It is Feast Week, so congratulations on being able to watch some excellent football and some excellent college basketball this week. For Tennessee, this feast has turned into a famine, and we'll get into the headlines coming up in a few minutes, but no Tennessee Vandy to tell you about, no Tennessee basketball to talk about yet, but we're still going to do a lot to get you ready for when those teams do take the field and take the court in orange and white. As always, the UT podcast is brought to you by our friends at Brentwood Hearing Center, who want to remind you that life connections are important, particularly during the pandemic. And Brentwood Hearing Center would like to make sure you stay connected to friends, family members, and work associates by addressing your hearing needs. They've been the hearing care provider in Middle Tennessee for over 35 years. And if you suspect you might be missing sounds of friends, family members, or work associates, visit their website, BrentwoodHearingCenter.com, and schedule your appointment as soon as possible this holiday season. Their phone number is 615-377-0420. And once again, their website, easy to remember, BrentwoodHearingCenter.com. Brentwood Hearing Center, better hearing, better life. So unfortunately, we do not have any tangible college basketball to talk about. Tennessee gets a lot of positive COVID tests back earlier this week, including to Rick Barnes, who, from all reports that are public, is doing well, has symptoms, but is doing all right. So certainly wish him, his family, the best during this holiday season as he recovers from COVID-19. Tennessee would have been hosting the Volunteer Classic this week, games on Wednesday and Friday. Instead, the start of their season pushed all the way back to the middle of December, the 12th at the moment, when they would host Cincinnati in Thompson Bowling Arena. So the bright side of this holiday season, getting the chance to watch Tennessee basketball. Tennessee fans, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, but still, certainly a team that is going to be fun to watch and a team that we're going to break down here in our second segment here this afternoon on 104.5 The Zone. But let's start with Tennessee and Auburn. Tennessee, as you likely know by this point, will not be playing Vanderbilt this weekend. Vanderbilt will instead head to Missouri, and the next game on Tennessee's schedule is a home matchup with Florida. So let's start where everybody starts right now when they talk about Tennessee football. Tennessee's quarterback problem. For me, Tennessee does not have a quarterback problem. It has a Jeremy Pruitt problem. Because when you continue to put a 12-year-old at the front seat of a car and say, "Drive, kid," to quote the great Pam Beasley in The Office, you don't blame the 12-year-old. He didn't know any better. You blame the adult that gave him the keys and said, "Drive, take us back, take us to Atlanta." And that's exactly what's happening in Knoxville right now for the University of Tennessee. Tennessee against Auburn wins time of possession. They have more total yards. They didn't lose the turnover battle. The defense allows 23 points. Eric Gray had 9 yards a touch and accounted for 222 yards. Tennessee had less penalties than Auburn and penalty yardage and lost by 13. File that under things that could only happen to Tennessee football. This Vols team is bad. They're not horrible, but they're not good either. And they're absolutely not good enough to make big mistakes and throw the other team a touchdown in their own end zone and not win, especially on the road in a season where you're only playing SEC opponents. Now, Jeremy Pruitt can call this one of the best offensive performances of the year all he wants to, but when you don't finish in the red zone, you throw more touchdowns to the team wearing the other jersey than the one wearing yours, and you miss 2 kicks in the red zone, that negates any momentum that you might have gained heading into the final 3 games of the season. So at this point, for me, Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback problem. It has a Jeremy Pruitt problem because he is unable to diagnose the issues he has at quarterback and move on to somebody else. Now, I say that, and we might see a new guy, finally, Harrison Bailey, a guy who we think, or many people think, is going to take at least the first snap against Florida and maybe more. Here was Volquest's Austin Price talking to the Midday 180 about that earlier this week on Tuesday afternoon.
Jeremy knows that, you know, he's got to show hope, and he starts Harrison Bailey. I think that it's far more likely that Tennessee makes a change at quarterback, you know, when they reconvene play next week against Florida. You know, if that game happens, if there's not more changes along the way, you know, like, let's face it, I mean, you know, the Arkansas game got canceled, and so then all of a sudden the SEC decided it was more advantageous to play Missouri-Vanderbilt this weekend and move Tennessee-Vanderbilt back. You know, it's not like any of those teams were buying for the conference divisional title or anything. They're just trying to make sure everybody tries to get 10 games in best they can. You know, I think that when Tennessee reconvenes play next week and, you know, they roll out a quarterback for the Florida game, you know, I'll be shocked if a change is not made. I just think that, you know, enough people, you know, have come to the conclusion of we better see what we got in Harrison Bailey. No one knows. I mean, how many fans went, oh, wow, they went right down the field with Harrison Bailey. But, I mean, he went right down the field every time because they're always down 13 or 17 or 37. And, like, teams are just dropping eight and saying, okay, we're going to let you have that 8-yard pass. We're going to let you have that 7-yard pass. We're going to let you have that 9-yard pass. And you're going to take up 5 minutes off the clock, and you're going to move the ball down the field. So, you know, what's Harrison Bailey look like when it's 0-0 or Tennessee's got a lead? You know, that's what I want to see going forward.
The game against Auburn was absolutely Tennessee's season in one game. You show a lot of good things in the running game, on the offensive line, and then a couple of mistakes completely diminish every positive that you had in that football game. Because obviously the end result and what it leads to is what matters in this sport, or in any sport. So interesting to hear Austin Price make that statement, because it's not what Jeremy Pruitt was leaning towards when he talked to the media on Monday earlier this week, saying still, like he did after the game, that Jarrett Garantano gives his team the best chance to win. And you know what? Maybe he's right in a way, because I think Jarrett Garantano probably does give Tennessee the best chance to win. This season, he has a higher ceiling than Harrison Bailey. The deep balls he's thrown to Josh Palmer have been terrific. The slot fade touchdown pass to Alabama against Alabama to Jalin Hyatt was a perfect throw. He can make some really good throws inside the red zone. But Jarrett Garantano also gives you the best chance to lose. His floor is lower than Harrison Bailey's. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because Harrison Bailey has missed a ton of practices and didn't get a spring practice as a freshman. Jarrett Garantano took a sack on a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. I mean, that's the full JG experience. Because I believe, honestly, that good JG gives you the best chance to win, but bad JG gives you the best chance to lose of anybody in the quarterback room. And now you've got a free week to integrate somebody new into the lineup. If this isn't the time to throw Harrison Bailey into the fold, then when is? JG finished 15 of 23, 156 yards, and a pick six to smoke Monday against Auburn, who said coming into the game that he knew Garantano was, quote, one of those quarterbacks who stares down his receivers. My goodness. Jeremy Pruitt reiterated that he liked his team's effort, but there were six or seven plays that Tennessee was on the wrong side of that decided the game. It also overshadowed Eric Gray, who carried the football 22 times for 173 yards and a touchdown, plus three catches for 49 yards. We are reaching Alvin Kamara levels of misuse for Eric Gray, who continues to get better and better. He's now tied for the team lead in receptions with Josh Palmer at 22. I think half of those, I swear, were the end of the game against Arkansas, where Harrison Bailey was just chucking checkdowns at him. He is second on the team in receiving yards with 199. I've got to laugh to hide the pain here. He's also now fifth in the SEC in yards from scrimmage with 850. Tennessee is not exactly an elite company with other FBS teams who have a running back as their leader in receptions. Those other teams, Wyoming, Toledo, Georgia Tech, Virginia, and Fresno State. And honestly, the sad thing is that I feel like things are going to get better for Tennessee if this continues, right? Because Eric Gray's the guy that needs the football in his hand 30 to 35 times a game right now. This year, through seven games, Tennessee has thrown 6 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. And Pruitt went on to say that Garantano's interception was an RPO that just can't happen, basically, is what he said. Let's also take a look, though, at this offensive line, because it goes beyond just the quarterback position. This group blocks well in the run game, but is continuing to struggle to keep whoever their quarterback is upright. The Vols are allowing the quarterback to be pressured on 36.8% of his dropbacks this season, 12th in the SEC. So when you look at the numbers, this offensive line has not only been not great protecting the quarterback, it's been bad. And Jeremy Pruitt also said that has something to do with the running backs not blocking well enough either. Let's switch to the other side of the football. Look at some of the other issues. Tennessee didn't get pressure against an Auburn offensive line that looked like a high school football team when it played Georgia. Opposing quarterbacks have been pressured on 30.8% of their dropbacks against Tennessee, putting Tennessee's pressure rate at 9th in the SEC. So all of this combined, let's wrap a bow on all of this and kind of put it into one big pot. This team has a losing culture. Yes, you've got a lot of Butch Jones players on this team, but for me, that's not the issue. This goes back to the issue I had with Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee's coaching staff after the Georgia State loss. Organization. It's all organization. You're seeing more and more teams have success hiring CEO head coaches. Guys like Ed Orgeron, who when surrounded by innovative coordinators, can absolutely succeed. Jeremy Pruitt is neither a CEO, nor is he a coach with innovative, cutting-edge, young, exciting assistant coaches. Jeremy Pruitt's a ball coach, which is fine. You can grow into a CEO, but this is a guy who I don't believe has the organizational ability to lead a football program and make decisions like keeping your starting quarterback in the game too long, or going for it on 4th and short instead of kicking a field goal against Arkansas that would have made it a one-score game. These are the head coach organizational decisions that Jeremy Pruitt is going to have to learn to excel in. Teaching press man coverage, yeah, he's good at that. Technique for the defensive line, since he's now the highest-paid D-line coach in the country. Fine, you know, I can believe that Jeremy Pruitt didn't forget how to coach a football team. He still knows how to do that. He has his entire career. You don't just put on an orange hat and forget how to coach the game of American tackle football. But here's the problem. Time is running out for Jeremy Pruitt to learn the organizational skills of managing a football program outside of the game plan and the watching film and evaluating recruits and the X's and O's on the field. You like to maybe think that Jeremy Pruitt possesses some traits that make him an attractive head coaching candidate down the road. The problem is that when Tennessee's program has fallen as far as it has over the last decade, you are forced to take a chance on a Jeremy Pruitt. When Mike Gundy says no, when Dave Doran is the only other guy you're looking at, when your AD is flying out MIA to go talk to Mike Leach and you've got to make a change mid-coaching search, these are the growing pains that you have to understand during one of the most hectic and chaotic coaching searches in the last 20 years of college football. This is the bed Tennessee has made, and now it has to lie in it. Because firing Jeremy Pruitt after 3 years is not an option for Philip Fulmer right now, because that's going to handcuff his chances of finding a willing and able head coach not named Hugh Freeze in the market right now. Tennessee has got to take its lumps and hope and pray that Philip Fulmer can help Jeremy Pruitt learn how to manage a football program. That's where Tennessee is right now. It's not managing a football team. Jeremy Pruitt is good at identifying diamonds in the rough. He's a great recruiter. He's a ball coach. Now he needs to become a CEO. Much more coming up when we come back right here on the UT Podcast on 104.5 The Zone. Let's talk some Tennessee basketball here on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back into the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast. Hope you had a wonderful week with family. Hope every feast you've had this week has lived up to your expectations, has lived up to the hype. As always, this podcast, this show here on 104.5 The Zone is brought to you by Brentwood Hearing Center. If you turn up the radio and TV volume to levels uncomfortable to others in the room, Brentwood Hearing Center would like to improve your lifestyle and that of those around you as well by tailoring a hearing solution to meet your specific needs. Call and schedule an appointment at 615-377-0420 or online at brentwoodhearingcenter.com and figure out what sounds you've been missing while watching some Thanksgiving football and college basketball here on Feast Week. Brentwood Hearing Center, better hearing, better life. That phone number again is 615-377-0420. All right, so we've got a couple of minutes left here in our Thanksgiving Feast Week or Famine Week edition for the Tennessee Volunteers here of the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast. It's going to be a while before we see Tennessee basketball take the court, but I'm thinking that this team is going to erase some of the, erase some of the despair and disappointment that we've all had in Tennessee football this season. And let's start with one of the newcomers that I think could be one of the best players that Tennessee basketball has had in some time, and that's Keon Johnson. This is a guy that, by many accounts, was not rated as highly as Jaden Springer out of IMG Academy. But Keon Johnson from the Webb School in Bellbuckle, Tennessee, has got to be one of the more exciting prospects Tennessee has had since Tobias Harris. And Jay Billis and ESPN projecting on Tuesday afternoon that he right now is slated at number 7 overall to the Atlanta Hawks, my Atlanta Hawks, for anybody who knows me, as 7th overall in the 2021 NBA draft, would be the first lottery guy for Tennessee since Tobias Harris and since one of the better players for Tennessee in my days growing up watching this basketball team. The exciting thing is, and hearing this from Michael Schwartz and from official Vol Hoops coverage as they kind of preview their roster, Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson come in with the Rick Barnes defensive first, we're going to play defense and let everything take care of itself mindset. When a guy can come in as talented as a Johnson, as a Springer, as a C.J. Walker like Tennessee also has on this bench, when they come in with that mentality of playing defense and not being like what Tennessee had under Bruce Pearl with a Scottie Hobson who was highly rated and just wanted to shoot, that to me excites me more than anything about this Tennessee basketball team. And then you look at a guy in Santiago Viscovi, and if you know me, if you're listening to this show, you know how high I am on this guy. Chad Withrow on the Midday 180 always says that Viscovi is my guy, and he could not be more correct. That is a guy, I think, if the reports are true and he's a guy who's maybe taken the biggest step forward of anybody on this roster over the offseason, this team can absolutely contend for a Final Four. What's going to separate them from being great to potentially special, for me, is not about who Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer and C.J. Walker are for this team. It's how does this team develop the guys that were good, not great last year? Santiago Viscovi is the one who leads that conversation for me. The other dark horse player that I think we're forgetting about is Josiah Jordan James, a dude who, if he plays up to his potential, could make this team very good. That's a guy that can play positions 1 through 3 on the floor. If you wanted to go really small, maybe a 4, but I don't see Tennessee putting him down in the low block. That is a guy, as a passer, as a facilitator. Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of guys on this basketball team that can play the point guard position and then can handle the basketball. And you could put 3 or 4 of them on the court at the same time. If you had Santiago Viscovi, Jaden Springer, Josiah Jordan James, and Victor Bailey, 4 guys right there who you feel comfortable bringing the ball up the floor and playing a little bit of point guard for this team. And then you go inside and you've got John Fulkerson, a 15th-year senior who comes in preseason All-SEC alongside Eve Pons, as good of a low-block tandem that Tennessee has had in quite some time. But the other guy who I think we need to be talking more about is E.J. Anasicki, a guy who, again, has taken over on the low block and, according to Tennessee's coaches, has honestly been ahead of a lot of the freshmen at the early point of camp and getting ready for this season. So if that's a guy that can give Tennessee meaningful minutes off the bench, and if you're able to keep John Fulkerson fresh for the final 4 to 5 minutes of a basketball game, you feel really good about your chances of at least contending for an SEC championship and hopefully for them, winning the whole thing. Because this team has depth that it has not had since Bruce Pearl was there a decade ago. Awfully exciting, the season for this team. Hopefully it actually gets started soon. Maybe this team is able to schedule more non-conference opponents and not wait till December 12th. It is certainly going to be a really fun year for those guys, and we'll be with you every week here on the UT podcast to talk about what they are doing and get some insight into that program this season. All right, so we've got a couple of minutes here. Let's give you some SEC picks for this Saturday slate of college football. And I'm going to preface this by saying that none of these were very difficult for me. And that's what worries me. I feel like any time that I say, like, oh, this was probably my easiest pick of the week, that 100% confirms that I am going to not have a winning record that week picking college football. Who knows? Guess we'll find out. I'll be eating leftovers and watching these picks against the spread just fail miserably. But let's start in Gainesville. Tennessee's next opponent, the Florida Gators, hosting the Kentucky Wildcats. Florida getting 23.5. I think you absolutely take Florida here. I'm surprised that line isn't higher. All these lines coming courtesy of ESPN.com as of Wednesday afternoon. So I'm going to go ahead and take Florida at 23.5. I think Kentucky, boy, their loss to Alabama, as bad of a loss as there has been this year in the SEC. Definitely like Florida to cover that. They've still got a lot to play for, and they need style points in order to put themselves in the conversation still for the college football playoff. They also probably need A&M to lose at some point for them to have a shot. Vanderbilt at Missouri. Well, I take that back. They could beat Alabama in the SEC title. They're definitely in. Vanderbilt at Missouri. Vanderbilt, a 15.5-point underdog. I like Vandy to cover here again. They've really looked decent against the spread this year. That's a team that continues to play hard. Ken Seals has looked better. I think Missouri wins outright by a touchdown, but I think Vanderbilt covers that spread with ease. Auburn at Alabama. This maybe is my easiest pick of the week. Auburn is not as good as their record indicates. The Crimson Tide at home in the Iron Bowl. Yeah, they're looking for revenge from what happened last year. I like Alabama to cover 24.5 there. Egg Bowl, Ole Miss getting 9.5. I like Mississippi State to maybe win this one outright. And I'm going to go ahead and take the Bulldogs in the upset. I think they cover the 9.5 there. A&M against LSU to start the evening slate. Aggies win and cover by 14. And then another really easy pick for me. Georgia with JT Daniels adding a new dimension into that offense. I think they cover 21.5 on the road in Columbia, South Carolina. All right, so the holiday season, I hope it's wonderful for you and your family. Thank you for joining us here tonight or this afternoon or whenever you're listening to this podcast here on 104.5 The Zone. We will talk to you next week to get you ready for Tennessee, Florida. Welcome to Florida Week, Tennessee fans. I say that reluctantly. We'll talk to you next time here on 104.5 The Zone.